Hey, thanks for listening to this Erskine podcast, and be sure to come back and listen to more at Erskine Radio. Thank you. Right now, we've got Patrick Wood. Now, Patrick and I have the same birthday coming up next week, and the same year, and the same date. It's really weird. However, he has done a lot more than I'd ever think about doing. He studied modern globalization for over 40 years, co-authored Trilaterals Over Washington way back in 1978 with the late Professor Anthony C. Sutton. Today, he's a leading expert on technocracy. What's technocracy? We'll tell you. He authored Technocracy Rising, the Trojan Horse of Global Transformation. His latest book, Technocracy, The Hard Road to World Order. He founded Citizens for Free Speech to counter big tech social media censorship with local activism. And tonight, today, we're going to discuss the 12 Days of Christmas essays. You've written a lot about that. Patrick, before we get started, what is technocracy for those who are uninitiated? It isn't communism, it isn't socialism, it's technocracy.
Well, it is technocracy. You're right about that. And what it is basically social engineering using advanced technology. And social engineering means that other people tell you what you can and cannot do, where you can and cannot go, what you may and may not think. It's not a good scenario. It's actually much worse than anything that socialism or communism could ever produce, because it micromanages the individual in a way kind of similar as if he were a cattle or a bovine, if you will, in a feedlot, just being force-fed and let's just exist and maximum weight gain for maximum efficiency and who knows what happens on the other end. But this type of social engineering is sweeping the world. And I think everybody understands that. They just don't understand that it's called technocracy.
One of the things that they're using is the climate change, because with that, they're able to control your electric usage. They're able to control the meat you eat. They're able to control everything. This is really the spearhead of technocracy, one of the main spearheads that they're using, isn't it?
It is, and this is really easy to understand. Anybody can grasp this concept. Economic activity requires energy. That is just, that's so obvious.
Of course, cheap energy equals prosperity.
It does. And this whole business of controlling energy is for the sake of controlling the economic activity in the world. And this was the original intent of technocracy going back to the 1930s, was to micromanage the economic engine completely from start to finish. They wanted to control all production as well as all consumption, and they wanted to balance that load using their so-called scientific algorithms. But energy was the heartbeat, it's the lifeblood of the economic system. So there's been an effort since the early 1970s, actually, to control energy artificially,
right,
so that they can control the economic mechanism. If they would just take their hands off energy, we would have productivity all over the planet, because there is energy out there, and there has been from time to time all other types of energy that have come up that have been killed by these very same people that are trying to sell us alternative energy sources.
Of course, like look in California, where they're destroying all of these dams that were providing cheap, economical energy, and it was absolutely doing nothing to the environment, and now they're blowing up the dams to save this or that or the other. But the fact of the matter is they had it there, and now they're destroying it. No wonder California's in such a mess doing things like that.
That's one of the reasons California's in a mess. There's probably a few others. But you're right. The controlling energy is something that these global elite planners know they have to do if they're going to control the economic system of the planet.
Now, we were warned about this, and that's your number one essay, was we were warned about technocracy. As a matter of fact, they threw Elon Musk, his grandfather, out of Canada because he was a technocrat and he was working with the Nazis on technocracy. That's why he was born in South Africa.
Well, that's right. That's why Elon went to South Africa, of course, with his parents, when they took off from Canada.
Right.
And that you're absolutely right. The Elon Musk's grandfather was the head of Canadian Technocracy Incorporated for several years during the 30s, and especially during the time when it was banned, when the whole movement was banned by the Canadian government because they perceived a connection to Nazi Germany.
Right. It is a fascist movement.
Well, it's very tightly connected. It's not quite the same, but it's very tightly connected to the concept of fascism because you see a bonding of government along with industry. But it's a different animal. In the end of it, the different animal. These people, the technocrat movement, wanted to control the economic system from beginning to end, the whole chain. Fascism sought to manipulate and control the economic system as it existed as capitalism. Technocracy wants to do away with that altogether. They hate the price-based economic system. They hate capitalism, and they hate free enterprise. They want to do away with all of that and control the economic system according to the energy that goes into it.
Now, the second article is the academic backing. The academics have been backing it. This is one of the reasons we have such problems today, because the academics backing stuff like technocracy, and they're not teaching people what has made America great, which was free enterprise and entrepreneurship.
That's right. And listen, that was the only thing that made America great. We could say we had a good political system, but the political system existed from day one in America to protect the individual's right to conduct life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that equates to economic activity.
America's always been about the individual. Technocracy is not about the individual. It's about the collective state.
That's right. Just the absolute opposite of what we have had in America for all these years. And the fact that the political system now is being degraded in our country, and I might add purposely,
right.
The idea is that as the political system is stripped away, our economic system is falling apart.
They have to tear it down in order to bring in their system.
That's right. And that's exactly what's happening on a global basis. Other countries have already fallen into technocracy outright. India is almost there. China is absolutely there already.
Right.
Europe is absolutely there already. Many countries in Africa are tilting and leaning that way. America is the last country on the face of our planet that stands in the way of these megalomaniac technocrats to take over the entire planet. Other countries know this.
Your third article was Technocracy in Europe and America. And then your fourth article is Technocracy versus Communism, Socialism, and Fascism. You show the difference. You show how it can function well under communism, socialism, and fascism because it is a very similar system, but it isn't quite the same. And then your fifth article is really interesting, Technocracy and Transhumanism. It's because people don't count with technocracy. It's not about people. It's about the collective and one thing and another. So where they will use people, we're just like cattle, aren't we?
Well, that's in their mind. We are like cattle in a feedlot. And you have to get inside a technocrat's head to understand why technocracy and transhumanism go together. You have a society being transformed according to technocracy or sustainable development. But what's the point of having utopia if people like you and I, who are still old school thinkers, we're not going to fit into that kind of a system?
No.
So
no.
The idea behind transhumanism is to prepare people that are, let's say, qualified or privileged or whatever to live in a technocracy system.
That's why they're using the drugs to dumb people down. They're using all sorts of things to dumb people down. It's all part of making people subservient. And it's all about subservience, whereas we're about individuals. We're about releasing the spirit of mankind. This is what God wanted. This is not what we want. We don't want transhumanism. We don't want technocracy. We want to be free, and it's all about freedom. When we get back, we're going to talk more about that with Patrick Wood and technocracy.
Are you or someone you know planning a wedding? Meet Zola, the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. Start with a free, gorgeous wedding website. Then add matching save the dates and invitations. Zola makes registering easy for couples and guests too. As the only place with gifts and gift cards from top brands and honeymoon funds, you can fill your registry in minutes. Plus, get free shipping and returns, 20% off post-wedding, and more. Save 50% off your save the dates at zola.com/audio and use the promo code SAVE50.
We've covered about 5 days of what you wrote, which is a complete treatise on technocracy, and it's all available at your website. What's the best place to go to get that, Patrick?
They have to just go to technocracy.news and pick any one of the days, or just search for day one or day two or day three, whatever. You'll pull up the first article, and all the other articles will be listed right in the sidebar, so you can go through all of them just like almost like an ebook. Almost.
It's really an incredible course that you actually wrote, the 12 Days of Technocracy. Necessary requirements. What's necessary for technocracy?
In a nutshell, Erskine, number one is control over energy. This was the first most important requirement they wrote down, is that energy had to be accounted for and it had to be measured and it had to be allocated. So that was number one, control over energy. And, of course, we already talked about it.
It's got to be on a 24-hour day basis, too. They've got control of every minute of the day.
That's right. They want to know everything that's going on and related to energy.
Well, they can do that with the smart meters and all that, can't they?
That's what it's all about today. Smart meter, smart grid, using alternative energy to reform the grid, the electric grid around the country. Yes, absolutely. This is control over energy, just like they specified in 1934. The second thing that comes in is surveillance. So the second set of requirements, and there were only seven, by the way, but the first two had to do with energy, and the next three had to do with surveillance. Any engineer that ever built a factory of any kind knows that you have to be able to monitor what's going on in the factory.
Sure.
And there's a number of ways to do that. You got to know. If something's about to break or something did break, you got to send somebody out to fix it right away. Well, that's industry, right? This is not, the society is not an industry, but they think it is. So in order for them to engineer the whole society, they have to have a monitoring system in place. And that is the requirement for total surveillance. That's why we see countries like China, where they will have installed over 600 million cameras in their nation by next year, by the end of next year, 2020. And they expect that there will be one camera for every 6.5 or 7 people in their country to totally surveil them. It's all tied into a network where they can use facial recognition technology, artificial intelligence technology. They could find anybody in their country within minutes of putting out an alarm to do so.
Well, they're going to have that here. They're putting up 300,000 new cell towers for the 5G network, and that's going to be total surveillance here.
It is, and there's so many. I mean, we could talk for several shows just on 5G.
Right, but right. They can bake your body, they can bake your brain, they can actually operate on the same frequency, put things into your thoughts. I mean, it's incredible. This isn't science fiction, it's here.
Well, it is, and the biggest thing about 5G that they're salivating over right now is the fact that they will be able to collect data on a real-time basis, which they've never been able to do before.
Right.
And artificial intelligence programs needs data in the same way that a sailboat needs wind in order to sail. And artificial intelligence doesn't work without a source of real-time data.
Facial recognition, it'll tell you everything about you. Anywhere you're walking, anybody who's there, right?
Exactly. And so the Internet of Things is going to be connected using 5G. This is the big holy grail, if you will, for technocracy right now. Once the Internet of Things has been activated using this 5G technology, we will effectively be right on the edge of a total scientific dictatorship where every aspect of society or life in a city will be controlled by artificial intelligence. This is the great danger of technocracy. Americans will hate this. H-A-T-E.
Right.
They will hate it with a passion, but they have no clue it's coming right now because Of course, this kind of information has just been absolutely suppressed.
Now, if you, of course it's suppressed. If you want to see technocracy in action, you look no further than Google.
Ah, really? Listen, I tell you what, I just did this the other day. Go to Google search engine and type in the word technocracy, T-E-C-H-N-O-C-R-A-C-Y. You will not find any reference to technocracy.news. You can drill down 25 pages into their search engine, and you will not find one page or one reference to technocracy.news, even though that's my domain name.
They don't like you. They don't like you, Patrick.
You know what?
Because you're telling the truth. If you tell the truth, they don't like you.
I know. So, they just scrubbed us. Now, if you search for technocracy space news, you'll find us. But just for the word technocracy, not there.
No, well, you don't know anything about technocracy. They do, and they're going to tell you what they know about it. And what they know about it is what they want you to know. That's the way it works. Their goals are good. Their goal, no poverty, better health, vaccinate everybody. All that's good things they're saying. Decent work and economic growth, responsible consumption and production, and quality education. They sound good, but you scratch the surface, and you've got a bargain with the devil.
Well, you know,
I think that's a good phrase, bargain with the devil, for this.
It is, and this whole thing is so full of lies. This reminds you of the statement when somebody comes to your door and says, "Hello, Erskine, I'm from the government, and I'm here to help you."
Right.
And you say, "Get off my property, you bum."
Absolutely. We are too independent for that. Now, we've got some other things that we can talk about. China is a technocracy. We talked a little bit about that. That's the seventh day. And the third day is technocracy in the central banks. It seems like banks would prefer freedom and money-making, but they don't. They like to have control. It's about control, isn't it?
Oh, my. Well, you know, it is. But of course, the central banks of the world control the economic activity of the world, don't they?
Right.
Because they control the money. And it's not a surprise to me that the banks would be interested in this new sustainable development system that the UN is cooking up, because they're the ones that, you know, fleeced the entire planet for well over 100 years now. So they're getting into the game. But listen, here's what's interesting about the Bank for International Settlements in particular. I've been talking about writing about the BIS for several years. I know the institution quite well. It's in Basel, Switzerland, and it is the central bank to all central banks around the world.
They cannot be found guilty of anything. They're not an open bank. You can't see what they've got going on or any of that, can you?
You cannot. But here's the shocking thing about this. In 2018, Erskine, Bloomberg Market Special Report, you know Bloomberg. He's running for president right now. But they're the big financial reporting newspaper, you know, whatever syndicate in New York City. And they're supposed to be at the top of the whole reporting thing for Wall Street and everything financial. Well, they produced a report in 2018 that was titled "Welcome to the Elite Private Club of the World's Central Bankers." And it was about the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements. And in that report, this is just absolutely amazing. They talk about the incoming president of the BIS. They say he's taking charge of an institution that stands out as a bastion of global technocracy.
Let's talk about that when we get back, because that's too important. We don't have enough time to get into that. A bastion of global technocracy is the incoming president of the Central Bank of the World. More with Patrick Wood.
Are you or someone you know planning a wedding? Meet Zola, the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. Start with a free, gorgeous wedding website. Then add matching save the dates and invitations. Zola makes registering easy for couples and guests, too. As the only place with gifts and gift cards from top brands and honeymoon funds, you can fill your registry in minutes. Plus, get free shipping and returns, 20% off post-wedding, and more. Save 50% off your save the dates at Zola.com/audio and use the promo code SAVE50.
They tell you what they're doing. They are so arrogant that they'll telegraph what they're doing, and it came, Patrick, from Bloomberg, that the incoming president of the Central Bank, BIS, he actually said that they are following technocracy, right?
Well, actually, it was the Bloomberg author wrote about the incoming president, and they were analyzing the BIS and saying what it's about, what it's not about, and so on. And it was a pretty insightful article just by itself. But in the middle of the article, they said, that is, Bloomberg said, that he's taking charge of an institution that stands out, which means it stood out for some time in the past as well. It stands out as a bastion of global technocracy.
Boy, I'm telling you, they have no fear. They just feel like they're going to get by with whatever they want, and we're too dumb to pick up on it.
I know. And here it is in plain black and white, and I still have people argue with me, Erskine, over technocracy. Oh, that's just a myth. That's just a conspiracy theory. And it's like, people, wake up. Simply read the black and white.
Here's your own publications telling you what it's doing. Now, the other thing that we've got is we are coming into, and everywhere across the country, and they're getting into the rural areas. You just sent an article about that, how that in the West they're doing the same things, reimagining a rural West for total control. You got the Western Governors Association. You've especially got North Dakota Governor Burgum, who is brainstorming it, and this is all coming according to the United Nations. Connectivity, it's emphasized by the rural community. You've got smart cities, and now you've got smart farms and all of this where they're taking control of everything, aren't they?
Oh, boy, isn't that the truth? And I had to put the picture in this article that showed in the front row, a fourth person over from the left, second person from the right, Governor Doug Ducey of Arizona.
Right.
He was there smiling away with the whole crowd, and they're also happy that they got together and were planning the future of the Western states, which we already know is infiltrated by the government ownership and stuff. And in some places, I think up to 78% of some states are owned by the federal government now.
He's just selling us out more and more. Tribes are used to work on energy infrastructure at a regional level. $15 million for energy infrastructure, and they're using tribes, they're using government, they're using everything. You got economic development, innovation, technology. They've got a workforce and a quality of life, and not all of that is just not real, what they're bringing in. It's going to do away with individuality, individual farms, and all of this.
Well, look, that's right. The rural communities in America are really, in many ways, the backbone of America because they feed America. And, of course, you have all the other resources as well, the mining and the oil and
right.
the natural gas and other things, gold and silver and is extracted from the earth. But the cities and the way the United Nations thinks about this, the cities are where all of the economic activity is really taking place.
Right.
Some sense they're kind of right about that because there's more people there. But the rural areas in America and elsewhere too, but just here, are viewed as an extension of the cities. So they're wrapping the rural areas around the cities into all of the rules and regulation of the cities. There's no more escaping to rural America to get away from this stuff.
Right.
So they're
That's why Soros is working at the ground level, putting people who are technocrats into school boards, into prosecuting, and also into places where they're making decisions at the very grassroots level. So if you want to vote for somebody for senator or Congress, that's fine, or the president, but they're really more doing their work at the grassroots level and in education.
And they always have. You're exactly right. And this has been what has slipped by the entire rural. I know a lot of people in rural America, farmers and ranchers, because I were one once, and they have no clue what's going on. They think they're safe. They think that these technocrats don't want anything to do with them because, after all, they're way out away from everybody and they're
right.
outliers, and who cares about them? Well, I got news for them. They're getting wrapped into the system, and the Western Governors Association are doing it from an executive level.
Absolutely. And they're also being infiltrated from every level, especially at the smart cities, where your city boards and this type of thing are coming in with all of their surveillance and all of this type of thing. They're doing that in cities and towns all across America, not just the big cities, but small towns too now.
Right. That's exactly right. And in our state, of course, in Arizona, we have now the Smart Region Initiative, which was sponsored originally by ASU, Arizona State University.
Right. Went right into Tempe, didn't it?
That's right. And they're what they're doing is they're making smart city policy for our entire region. 4.2 million people in 22 cities, Erskine, that cover the entire central Arizona area. And this one small organization, no elected officials whatsoever, they claim they're making policy for smart city implementation for the entire region.
Total,
and they're going to shove it down the city council's throat in every city and every county in this area.
Total surveillance, total control. That's what it's about.
Yep.
They don't want us getting off the reservation. They want us to be right in lockstep with everything that they propose because they know more for us than we would possibly know for ourselves. And this is going to stop entrepreneurship. It's going to stop freedom. It's all about freedom, isn't it?
Well, in the end of it, it is. And they want more for themselves and less for us. That's what's happened to it. That's what this whole inequality issue is all about right now. The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Well, how many years have we heard that? I've heard that for 50 years, for Pete's sake.
I think they wrote a song about it, right.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And this is exactly it. The rich have gamed the system so that they can always win. Whenever the slot machine lever is pulled, they always get a take for themselves. And so they have grown richer even while individual people have grown poorer. And this kind of a mentality is what you see in technocracy. They don't want just the money anymore, however. If it was just money, that would be one thing. They're going for the resources this time. They want to take the physical resources out of the hands of people and lower in smaller companies and put it into the hands of the global elite. This is a resource grab of epic proportions. That's what sustainable development is all about in the end.
Taking the resources absolutely from is. It absolutely is. And in the final analysis, they become gods over us.
Well, they do. And a lot of them actually think in that terms, especially the transhumanist type thinkers. They see themselves as budding gods. When
right.
they conquer death, you know, they figure, hey, what's going to stop us, man? Once we know we're not going to die, why, you know, there's just no limit to what we can do.
And this is basically where they're going to, and this is basically why a lot of Christians need to wake up on this and understand what's going on, because this is a fight between good versus evil.
It really is, and just beyond just good versus evil, it's God versus the devil.
And right.
There's no doubt about it in the end that the kind of system that's being set up globally right now with scientific dictatorship, a lot of Christians are already keyed into this pretty well, that this may well be the so-called end times economic system that we see in the book of Revelation that talks about buying and selling, and you can't do that.
Without
the
mark.
That mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. See, that's not a political issue. That's an economic issue.
Right.
And it's like exactly what we're talking about here. You can't buy or sell unless you are approved by the technocrats.
Well, isn't it that way? Isn't it that way in China right now? This isn't hypothetical. It's in China right now. Unless you're approved by the powers that be, you can't do anything. You can't buy and sell food. You can't do anything.
That's right. And, you know, and even China, I got a kind of chuckle out of this. The other day, China announced that if you want to buy a new cell phone in China, which, that's pretty popular over there, you want to buy a new cell phone, you can't buy a cell phone until you scan your face and give it to the government, and they register you with a permanent ID according to your face.
We're going to take a break right now. Just think about that. We'll be right back. The final two... Date 11 of the Christmas present that you gave everyone, the 12 days of Christmas, technocracy and the rise of techno-populism. They're trying to make it combine with populism. It's not working. People aren't going to buy that, I don't think. Do you?
Well, I'd like to think that they don't buy it, but in Europe, they're already buying it. And we know in Europe that, the populist movement has been seen raising its head in several countries, Spain and Italy, and to some extent a little bit in the Netherlands. There's a growing populist movement there. We see it in the UK. We see it in Ireland. And a lot of people that are standing up for, you know, for freedom and you know, individuality and stuff, when they finally get into power, they realize they have no ability to actually run anything because they were just running on principles.
Right.
They have no skill to do anything. So what they're doing is they're turning to technocrats to run the country. I'll tell you, they don't understand how dangerous this is to, you know, you dance with the devil, you're going to get your clothes burned.
You absolutely are. Now, we can defeat them. And you've got the final day. You talk about how to defeat them, the 12th day of Christmas. Get off of the smart grid, smart meters, alternative energies. If it says sustainable, stay away from it. We've got, I don't think we can stop the 5G network, but there are ways you can protect yourself from it. Surveillance cameras, license plate readers, militarization of police, they all need to be addressed. Demand privacy of data. People are giving more and more of their data, but I think this thing with Facebook and Google, people are seeing we don't want everything exposed to everyone. I don't want my medical records exposed on the web. And it's all this, they're saying you've got to put this on. You don't have to. Reject regionalization and education reform in the local schools. I think a lot of it has to go to the local schools first off, and they need to have people in there who understand what's going on instead of indoctrination centers, which schools have become, haven't they?
Well, they have. And if anybody would get to day 12 and read that little bit about education, if they have not read the day 10, which was technocracy and education, they would need to go back and read that essay and find out exactly really what's going on in education right now. Education has been completely co-opted by the global elite. And this is around the world, not just here in our country.
Right.
But the education system has been set up according to the original specifications in technocracy. And that was to build a system of human conditioning. It's not education at all anymore. It's conditioning people to go into the workforce that these people require to run their socially engineered society and their businesses. They're conditioning people to be worker bees, not to be educated human beings that have a brain in their head of their own, but simply to be conditioned to give a certain response when they have a certain stimulus. You see a red light, push this button. See a blue light, push this button.
In other words, polyparrot back everything that the professor tells you, be it right or wrong, and then you'll get a good grade. Yes. Okay. No problem. You can't question anything. You can't. There's no discourse. Used to be a place where you could question things. You could say, you know, that doesn't really sound right. And they would talk about it. No longer. And this is happening to professors. Look at all the people who were saying, look, this climate change, this human cost, it isn't right. These people were not getting money. They were not getting promoted. They wouldn't get an advanced degree. They were shunned. And you've got the same thing in archaeology. You've got the same thing in one form of after another in the colleges and universities. There's no independent thought. No independent thought. There's no progression of our society.
That's right. Where education stops, everything basically stops in the end, because people are not able to think critically. And back in 1934, when the technocracy study course was written, what they called this education system was something to train everyone indiscriminately as regards everything other than inherent ability, and they called it a continental system of human conditioning.
Human conditioning, that's the word.
Human conditioning, that's what they called it back then, and that is exactly what we have today. And other people besides me have written about that, by the way.
We used to call that brainwashing people.
Well, we still should call it brainwashing,
right?
Because that's it.
That's exactly what it is, right.
So there have been many authors that have written about the original technocracy proposal for education, and they're quite blunt about reading it, just like you and I are talking about it right now. It says, yeah, this continental system of human conditioning will have to be installed to replace the existing insufficient educational methods and institutions. That was written by an analyst, or actually a political scientist, back in 1978. He studied technocracy and said, yep, that's exactly what they're going to do.
Right.
They're going to replace the insufficient educational methods, the reading, writing, and arithmetic, and, you know, moral judgments and stuff like that. They're going to replace the schools that exist, the existing institutions, with institutions of human conditioning. And yes, this is 1984 on steroids, human conditioning.
Now, they've got us conditioned to believe that we don't need a force, we don't need a border. They've got us conditioned to believe that abortion is fine, it's wonderful, it's good. They've got us conditioned to believe, and you can go right on down the list of things that they've been conditioning people to.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, all of the political correctness language that we have, who knows what you're going to run into just walking around the street anymore. But all of this political correctness talk where people get triggered over the stupidest words.
Right.
This is a result of human conditioning. They've been conditioned to respond to a certain thing. Listen, if you call a trans person, say a male that converted to a female, even if he has a beard and he's, you know, wearing a flannel shirt, whatever, and you refer to him as a he, oh, you're going to get, you know, you might as well call in the feds and the SWAT team to carry you away.
Well, look at J.K. Rowling, who actually was pretty much a leftist, and when she said, no, there's a difference between men and women. Excuse me, is that a really tough concept to follow? Dogs, my dog knows there's a difference. He called him a girl. He wouldn't talk to my wife's aunt for a long time, for a whole day. The dog knew the difference. Shouldn't people know that difference? It is common sense. We have lost common sense. That's the first thing they had to get rid of, was common sense.
Well, they did, but this is an expression of having been conditioned to react a certain way when fed a certain stimulus. That's what this is all about. It's getting people conditioned to respond in a way that they control the response.
This is the key. This is the key to breaking technocracy. We've got to get back to common sense. We've got to get away from the conditioning. We've got to break this evil spell. It's a spell that they're putting people under, basically.
Well, that's what conditioning is all about, of course. That's how cults have gotten along for, you know, so many hundreds of years or thousands of years. We have a number of cults. We've seen a lot of them come and go in America over the years. I'm thinking back to the Jim Jones cult. That's probably safe because it's, what, 30, 40 years old?
Right.
Where he got people to drink poison Kool-Aid.
We're doing it now in the schools. The kids
right.
are being and served the Kool-Aid.
This was brainwashing. He brainwashed his followers, conditioned them to do anything he said.
And that happened down in Guyana. It takes separation, and in school you're separated. You're away from your parents, you're away from other things, so it takes separation. Jim Jones learned that.
Sure did, and he used it well. And there's been plenty of other cult leaders since him that have done exactly the same thing, and this is a microcosm of, you look at any one of them, it's a microcosm of what technocracy seeks to be. It's a system of conditioning in the end to get the people in society to do what they want them to do based on the stimuluses that they shove at them. They want to see a uniform response from everyone and be able to control it and to continue the brainwashing process as necessary, you know, according to their whatever science, you know, their science of social engineering. This is crazy stuff, Erskine.
To really understand this, please go up to technocracynews.com. It's all up there. And this is your New Year's. This is your Christmas present from my friend Patrick Wood. And Patrick, happy birthday to you. May you have many, many more. Thank you for all you're doing, and God bless you. Thank you for being on Erskine Radio.
My pleasure, Erskine.
And thank everybody for going up to Twitter at Erskine Radio. We love you tweeting. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, not only to America, but listeners all over the world. Happy New Year to you. May 2020 be one of better sight and better year than you've ever had before. Sweet dreams. Hey, thanks for listening to this podcast. We got lots more, so be sure to come back.